You are listening to the Star Lores Podcast.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
No other object is as emblematic of the Jedi, the Sith, or the universe as the lightsaber. Its design is functional, yet aesthetic. Its uses are innumerable, and its ability to keep up with the changing times and technology is remarkable. They have been called many things by many people. The uninitiated may call them laser swords or space sabers. However, their proper term is lightsaber, and they have served as symbols and tools of truth, justice, death, and destruction, being inexorably tied to the Jedi and Sith which wield them.
You're a Jedi Knight, aren't you?
What makes you think that?
I saw your laser sword. Only Jedis carry that kind of weapon.
Perhaps I killed a Jedi and took it from him.
I don't think so. No one can kill a Jedi.
Origin. What would later become the lightsaber has its origins deep in galactic history, at the time of the Rakatan Infinite Empire. The Force Sword was a spiritual predecessor to the lightsaber, and really only shared cursory and aesthetic similarities, its function being markedly distinct. While they still looked like a lightsaber to the untrained eye, Force sabers served more as conduits of Force energy than of purely mechanical means. They shared the cylindrical metallic hilt. However, a user would have to channel dark side energy through a black, laboratory-grown crystal at the weapon's core to ignite a blade made of pure energy. These weapons were wielded by members of the Rakatan Infinite Empire, as well as their servants, the Force Hounds. They came in a variety of colors, including blues, reds, and oranges, and could be crafted into a single-bladed sword or a pike version with an extended handle. Because these weapons require the channeling of the dark side energy, the Jedi, and later the Jedi, were wary of their use. Well, some saw them as great tools and weapons to be adopted. The divide around their use may very well have served as the catalyst that would lead to the great schisms of light and dark side users that would eventually become the Jedi and the Sith. The first proper lightsaber to be created by the Jedi Order was built by a master whose name has been lost to history. However, their contribution, the first lightsaber hilt, called the First Blade, would serve as the template for all sabers to follow. It was built when the master found a way to freeze a laser beam through a forging ritual. These weapons were useful and became ceremonial, adopted by the following Jedi Order after the Force Wars. Further study into the sciences of such devices led to a refinement that allowed the blade to actually be a current of energy that was emitted and arced back to its source to produce an energy blade. However, initial developments produced unstable and inefficient weapons, and were primarily used for ceremony for their tendency to overheat and short out. This design also consumed a lot of power, which was produced by a belt-mounted battery pack to fulfill the weapon's energy demands. Eventually, the technology would stabilize and produce a more consistent blade. However, their energy demands still required the belt pack and attached hilt cord, which would be cumbersome in battle. However, it saw widespread use by both early Jedi and Sith, and what is now referred to as a proto-saber was born and used for its combat effectiveness, particularly against armored foes. Further refinements would come thanks to the Sith, who continued to focus on and maximize the weapon's efficacy. They were eventually able to add power cells, able to sustain the blade without the power pack, and the weapon became self-contained to the hilt, generating a flowing plasma blade. These advancements would later find themselves adopted by the Jedi Order. While many Sith, despite pioneering the technology, opted to use Sith blades for the carnage and viscera that such weapons could inflict, some modern Jedi would return to the proto-saber design, dubbing them retro-sabers, re-including the power pack with them, with modern engineering, could provide the wielder with momentary power surge and increase in cutting when activated, an advantage to offset its cumbersome history. Design.
I see you have constructed a new lightsaber. Your skills are complete.
The lightsaber consists of a cylindrical hilt, usually made of some form of metallic alloy. However, other more exotic materials have been used. It emits one or more blades of plasma. Some designs are relatively simple, while others are ornate and works of art in their own right. Those of the Jedi are usually handcrafted, and their designs sometimes reflect their owners, from building on the teachings of ascetic living of the Jedi to mimicking and honoring past users. Some add personal flourishes, such as using materials native to a homeworld, like a special metal or wood, or reflect a great achievement such as the tooth of a predator or other trophy. They can be industrial or inlaid with precious metals or gems. Whatever the hilt design might be, it has, since their adoption, been a sign of a Jedi's maturity and growth, and often been a test used as a benchmark of a Jedi's aptitude and skill in the construction of their own personal weapon. Because of the various beings that compose lightsaber-wielding Jedi or Sith, the hilt design can vary in length to best suit the anatomy of the wielder's hand, or can take other forms that will be elaborated momentarily. At other periods in history, mass production of uniform weapons have also been used to equip armies and less religiously aligned force users. Other than the power cell, the other most important feature of a lightsaber is a focusing crystal, which focuses the plasma arc into a blade and adjusts its power. The length of a lightsaber's blade can also be adjusted as needed, though this is not a feature of all sabers, and its lengths may vary by user. Lightsabers were ideally suited to three crystals, however one was sufficient to craft a fully functional and useful blade, and at times of scarcity, the only option. Along with the varied hilt length and superficial flourishes, there also existed a diverse catalog of lightsaber styles that could very well be classified as distinct saber weapons in their own right.
Single-bladed, what were often described as single-bladed or one-handed lightsabers, were the most common type of lightsaber and could come in a variety of forms. The hilt could be short or long enough to serve a one- or two-handed grip, and it could be curved to facilitate a more ergonomic grip. And differential fighting styles, preferred by duelists such as Count Dooku. These weapons were sometimes paired by dexterous combatants who would fight with one in each hand, or as the need dictated. Some had a special locking mechanism that allowed a wielder to clip to single-bladed weapons end-to-end to form a double-bladed lightsaber that could also be disengaged in combat to give them an edge. A distinctive version known as the dual-phase lightsaber allowed the user to adjust their blade length at will, even during combat.
Double-bladed, sometimes also referred to as saber staffs among other names, double-bladed lightsabers would emit a blade beam from both ends, granting a wielder with more combat options and extended reach. These lightsabers typically had a longer hilt to house a second crystal and power emitter, however the design could also be condensed to the size of a typical single-bladed hilt. The design was first used by the ancient Sith, and its first recorded use was by Exar Kun, the Fallen Jedi, though it would be adopted as an option by the Jedi Order, though more rarely due to its dark side and aggressive connotations. It is often used for aggressive fighting styles or against multiple opponents. In rare cases, and often as a matter of biology, these weapons could also be dual-wielded, such as the case for Jedi Master Pong Krell, whose anatomy of four arms allowed him to dexterously use two saber staffs at once. Use of the weapon required more training and proficiency, as the dual blades could prove to be as dangerous to the wielder as their enemies if they were not sufficiently skilled to use it. A rarer double-bladed design included two smaller emitting hilts that were loosely tethered by a cord or chain that made the weapon function like nunchucks, and added an element of unpredictability in combat.
Lightsaber Shoto, sometimes called light daggers, they were essentially a miniaturized form of the traditional lightsaber, with a smaller hilt and or a smaller blade. Their blade was sometimes also more slender than those emitted by full-size lightsabers. They were often used in tandem with traditional lightsabers. In some rare cases, a wielder might opt for two Shotos to produce a fast acrobatic attacks with the obvious disadvantage of reach. Some Shotos were designed so that they could also be effectively thrown at an opponent. Some Jedi's primary weapon, because of their diminutive size, like Master Yoda, would exclusively use a Shoto.
Guard Shoto, also called the lightsaber Tonfa, was a unique design that had a third perpendicular handle situated 90 degrees to the rest of the hilt. This offered the user a unique grip and was often used for defensive techniques, guarding and trapping. The hilt was also usually, but not always, laced with a lightsaber-resistant material, as it was often held close to the wielder's arm and used to deflect oncoming strikes. They were not typically wielded alone, but most often as a pair or in tandem with a traditional lightsaber.
Crossguard. A crossguard lightsaber came in one of four forms. It either had metallic protrusions at either side to make the cross guard, or it had two smaller vents that emitted miniature blades from either side of the hilt. A third design had only one quillion that created a second smaller blade and would extend from the hilt and various angles. This version was often referred to as a forked lightsaber. The fourth version was a double-bladed variant that also had small vents to create two smaller blades extending from the hilt for a total of four blades, two primary and two smaller secondary. The crossguard lightsaber was favored by duelists who could use quillions to catch an opponent's blade, but the design was exceedingly rare.
Long-handle lightsaber. This variant covers handle lengths from as small as double the normal size to the equivalent of a full staff topped with a lightsaber blade. This still had more surface area a wielder could grab, but also had more exposed areas that an opponent could strike or shoot to disable the weapon. This design could double as a walking staff or cane, or be built to accommodate more eccentric body types, such as multi-limbed or longer, taller torsos. Some designs also had a second blade emitter to make them a double-bladed weapon. A similar design is the light club, which typically had an even longer blade in addition to its long handle.
Lightsaber pike. Similar to the long handle lightsaber, the pike simply had an even longer pole from which the saber blade would emit. It was also sometimes referred to as a lightsaber lance. Because of the extended handle making it even more vulnerable to attack, it was often made coated in a lightsaber-resistant alloy to prevent an enemy from damaging the extended hilt. The blade emitted from the pike tended to be thicker than regular lightsaber blades. Pikes would sometimes have a shorter blade at the top as well, and could also come in a dual-bladed variant.
Saber cane. The saber cane was, for all intents and purposes, a regular lightsaber that was hidden in and could be detached from a walking cane. This weapon could be more easily concealed than the typical weapon variant and served to assist its user in walking.
Light whip. A rare design with various iterations. The light whip appeared similar to a lightsaber, but had a long, flexible blade. This was done through the use of multiple crystals in the hilt and an unstable plasma field that gave the plasma more flexibility, unlike a rigid blade. Various variations include a basic lightsaber hilt that produced a strictly energy-based blade, long metallic whip that would help guide an energy's plasma field when activated, as well as a multi-cat-o'-nine-tails version with multiple tasseled blades. These weapons were unpredictable, but deadly in the hands of a skilled user.
Light foil. Another Sith innovation. This weapon exhibits a smaller handle for one-handed use. They eventually found use even amongst non-force sensitives, particularly as dueling weapons by nobles of the Tepani sector, though they were of lesser quality compared to their ancient Sith counterparts.
Underwater saber. Not a truly distinct weapon, but rather a modification to existing lightsaber design. In order to operate underwater, lightsabers would need a bifurcating cyclical ignition pulse. Many Jedi had chosen to modify their sabers with this feature, especially those who expected to operate in aquatic environments. The new Jedi Order under Master Skywalker had included this feature as a standard with all their lightsaber designs. Without the modification, lightsabers would short out if activated underwater and would require minor field repairs before they can be reactivated.
Training saber. Lightsabers with an intense electromagnetic field containing the blade that prevents users from doing too much harm if contacting the blade. It could cause minor burns, welts, and bruising, but did not maim or kill those struck with the blade. Often used by younglings and trainees so as to prevent serious injury while learning to use the weapon.
Various eccentric designs. There are various unique lightsaber forms across the galaxy that do not fit within typical categorization. One such weapon is the War Dragon rider-style weapon that appeared to be two hilts with a blade at either end, as well as one in the middle. The Darksaber, wielded by Mandalorians, was a unique black and angular-bladed weapon of ancient lightsaber design. The weapon appears to be the only one of its kind, at least by the time of the Clone Wars, and had become an ancient relic and heirloom. There are numerous individual examples of unique incarnations of lightsaber.
Whatever the ultimate design a lightsaber user might choose, it often came with advantages and disadvantages, as well as complementary fighting techniques, aptitude, and personal choice and philosophy to get the most out of the weapon.
Blades. Aside from the hilt, the other external features that make a lightsaber is the blade itself. Made of contained and stabilized plasma, the blade would burn very hot and was able to melt through most objects and substances through the galaxy, often within seconds. Because of their containment fields, lightsaber blades could not simply pass through each other, which often saw their use as counters to one another and made dueling a respected and necessary discipline among lightsaber users. Lightsaber blades could come in a variety of colors, often being under the direct influence of the crystal or crystals used to focus the blade. Blade color could mean different things at different times in galactic history, but it could also simply be a creative choice by the weapon's maker, or the result of tradition and typical association. In ancient times, the chosen lightsaber color could indicate a Jedi's chosen class or signified a particular role within the order.
Blue. Some of the most common crystals, blue was associated with Jedi guardians of the ancient order, who practiced more physical disciplines of Jedi arts. However, the use of crystal color to identify specialty fell out of favor later on, save for some specific roles. Blue crystals, along with green crystals, had become relatively common amongst the Jedi ranks towards the end of the time of the Republic.
Green. Green had been the color chosen by Jedi counselors, who preferred to meditate and seek the deeper mysteries of the Force. Similar to the Guardian, the practice had been discontinued, and green lightsabers were chosen for color preference and crystal ubiquity.
Red. These blades were used almost exclusively by Dark Force users and the Sith. Most notable about red crystals was that they were synthetic in nature and often had dark energies poured into them by their users during manufacture.
Yellow. Jedi Sentinels were once identified by their yellow blades in the Old Republic. They were Jedi who chose a balance of disciplines between physical and scholarly pursuits. This color became relatively rare towards the end of the Republic. One practice that endured, however, was the traditional double-bladed yellow lightsaber that was used by the Jedi Temple Guard, along with their distinctive uniform masks and robes.
Orange and purple lightsabers had become very rare towards the end of the Republic. They did not have a significant meaning other than user preference and would often be passed down through generations because of their rarity. Jedi Master Mace Windu used a purple lightsaber, and it was thought that he liked the color because it was a blend between the red and blue colors known for the Jedi and Sith, which reflected Windu's fighting style, which used the dark side against itself, thus retroactively giving meaning to his personal blade choice.
There are a myriad of other colors that a lightsaber could produce, either by use of unique and rare crystals, or combinations and techniques that could produce black, silver, brown, violet, teal, magenta, pink, aqua, amber, white, amongst many others. Some combinations could produce a regular or unique coloration with a black core. Lightsaber crystals could also be compressed, creating a pulsating effect in the blade, or be rendered unstable, creating a sparking, swirling effect in the blade's core. Crystals.
Aside from determining the blade's aesthetic coloration, lightsaber crystals could influence other attributes of the weapon as well. At their core, all lightsabers use a crystal, or crystal-like focusing object, to create the energy blade. Most often, kyber crystals were used in the construction of Jedi and Sith weapons. However, their origins were often very different. Jedi would usually find natural crystal formations on selected worlds, where they would harvest and attenuate their own force energy through the crystal, creating a unique bond with their weapon. The Sith tended to use artificial crystals made through intense heat, pressure, and force alchemy, and usually resulted in red crystals. Though, during the Great Sith War, Sith preferred to use the naturally occurring Kunda stones instead. Synthetic Sith crystals tended to create a more powerful blade when imbued with dark energy by their users. Regardless of the crystal's origin, the Force user would meditate on the crystal for extended periods of time, often months, to properly attenuate to the Force. Other crystals, pearls, and materials could be used as a focusing point for the blade as well. Combinations and multiple crystals could also be used to create various blade effects, including compressing and destabilizing the blade, making it more powerful or changing its color.
Uses. Although their primary function was as a weapon, the philosophy guiding their use, techniques, and fighting styles changed their practical application. In addition, lightsabers could be used as a tool for a variety of purposes and could be used by non-force users. However, one would benefit from some form of training, as the weapon tended to be unwieldy in the hands of those unused to them. The blade was massless and did not radiate heat outside of direct contact with the blade. A user would have to take these factors into account when swinging or using it to avoid self-mutilation. For this reason, the Jedi developed a series of unique fighting styles, often referred to as lightsaber forms, though other fighting styles emerged from their Force sects. These forms tended to focus on attributes of the user and their weapon, and tended to focus on particular aspects of combat, be it dueling, fighting multiple opponents, or deflecting attacks. Lightsabers proved formidable weapons, able to cut through some of the galaxy's strongest materials, and able to deflect blaster bolts, and in the hands of a skilled user, back at the firer. Some limitations were slug and explosive-based weapons that could not be deflected, but either became molten slag or detonated in contact with the blade, proving an effective method of neutralizing a lightsaber's deflective capabilities. Lightsabers could not pass through each other, however, so whole fighting styles and combat focus on dueling other lightsabers wielding opponents were developed. A host of other non-energy-based materials could also repel a lightsaber blade or cause damage to the containment field, shorting the weapon out. The lightsaber makes a distinctive noise when activated and continues to produce a signature hum while the blade is emitted. Blades let out other distinctive noises when they come into contact with another blade and create bright flashes and occasional sparks. The expensive and rare metal known as cortosis in its purest form could short out a lightsaber on contact and render it inoperable for a number of minutes. Less refined or alloyed cortosis would simply deflect the blade without deactivating it. It was used in making specialized weapons and armor, but its rarity and lethality on contact with unrefined ore, due to its extreme level of ionization, would make the refining process very expensive. Frick was another metal compound able to resist a lightsaber blade and was used in the electro staffs of Magna Guards as well as Dark Trooper armor. These are just some of the many examples of lightsaber resistant materials. If someone were unlucky enough to receive a blow from a lightsaber, the intense heat produced only by direct contact with the blade would often leave black scorch marks and cauterize a wound. This made combat less bloody and actually helped preserve the life of a victim by preventing bleeding out. However, some species with particularly high blood pressure could still bleed from a wound inflicted by such a weapon. Lightsabers could be used to cut through walls, locks, and most unreinforced metals, neutralizing armor, and allowing wielders rapid methods of egress or ingress. Cutting through walls or floors, the glow of a lightsaber could be used for illumination in absence of a light rod or lamp. Lightsabers were often incorporated into many sacred traditions of Jedi and Sith alike, including knighting and bonding ceremonies. Thanks for flying with us. Jordan here. Just wanted to let everyone know what's happening here at the Star Lores podcast. Star Lores is now on Discord. If you would like to join the Star Lores Cantina Discord server, you can find a link in the description or on any of our social media accounts. Reach out with a DM or email. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching the Star Lores podcast. Go ahead and give our page a like and send us a message. You can also email at starlorespodcast@gmail.com. Send us your fan art, Star Wars collections, or fan fictions, and you may even get a feature on one of our pages or even the show. Don't be afraid to offer corrections or add to any of the topics that we discuss on the show. We are also on Patreon, so if you want to help us pay the bills, as well as get a few awesome perks like bonus episodes, access to the private Facebook group, or the VIP section of the Discord server, head on over to patreon.com/StarLores and sign up for as little as $1 a month. And finally, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher app or YouTube, as well as sending us a 5-star review on iTunes. This really helps us reach a wider audience. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, welcome everybody aboard the Millennial Falcon. This is Christian.
This is Jordan.
And we are now floating serenely above the planet Ilum, known for its beautiful crystal caves and kyber extraction used in the production of lightsabers.
Indeed. Well, it's like a light show.
It's all shooting lasers off into space. So, yeah, lightsabers. They are, like, if you know Star Wars, instant recognition is the lightsaber. There's nothing more related to and or, like, identifiable or iconic to the Star Wars IP other than the text Star Wars is the freaking lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking about it today. Everything about the lightsaber is very iconic. Everything from the way it looks to the distinctive noise and hums that they make, which are very interesting. Yeah, like even in this podcast we use lightsaber sound effects, you know, activating, deactivating. Yeah, just
do you know of so I'm not really aware of this, I haven't looked into it, but has some sort of prototype of the idea been introduced in any other property?
Yeah, so the lightsaber, I mean, with all the detail and stuff that it exists as the lightsaber as we know it, obviously, is Star Wars. But there have been other things that have introduced light-based weaponry. And sometimes it's hard to say if someone came up with it first or copied someone or independently came up with it. Because very similar weapons appear in things like Gundam. And,
right. Yeah.
Which would have, like, originated in the Japanese.
That's kind of what I was
sci-fi sphere. Yeah. Yeah. So I personally don't know. And Lucas himself said he was inspired by, like, you know, classic 60s serials like, you know, Flash Gordon and stuff.
Right.
Which, you know, I haven't watched all of Flash Gordon from the 60s. It may have been a concept introduced there. So in terms of the weapon itself, I don't know if it's like an original idea by Lucas. I do know that he did want them to be more ubiquitous in the universe. Like, even common stormtroopers would have them. It would just be like a side weapon. Like, anyone could draw a sword.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because it was like this swashbuckling adventure.
No, I don't like that.
No, and yeah. Eventually he refined it down to be a lot more of a sacred, rare weapon.
Yeah, you don't want to make things too common because...
It kind of ruins.
Yeah.
ruins the uniqueness of them. Kind of switching gears a little bit. Just in the episode that we talked about, there are quite a few divergences between the Disney canon and the legends, especially surrounding Kyber crystals, and some unique designs that we didn't talk about in the episode. I'd like to have mentioned them because I do like to introduce cool canon concepts into legends wherever they fit. Sometimes it's just a good way to build out the universe in areas that are kind of blank spots. As much as I'm critical of Disney, sometimes they do have good ideas, And some of them aren't so great, but yeah, some of the two designs I just kind of wanted to touch on briefly. Ezra Bridger, he has a unique lightsaber that's also a pistol. So he's got like a blaster worked into his lightsaber hilt.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool gun sword design.
Yeah.
Also an anime classic. They were a real historical weapon. They weren't super effective, but you can find examples of gun swords in real life, especially around the Black Powder era.
Yeah, and I think also too, that's pretty cool. But like, hypothetically, there's like no end to the types of lightsaber designs you can make. And you got to remember, the galaxy is a big place, so it kind of leaves a little open ended to what anyone could design. You know, you can really use your imagination with it. And I think a lot of those designs would probably fall flat a little bit.
Adding more blades doesn't make it essentially a better weapon.
Yeah. But, you know, like we talked about in the episode, like things like the lightsaber whip like the pike and things like that. You know, there's all sorts of creative things you could hypothetically do. I think you could even... possibly do like small drones or small lightsabers, you know. I don't know, things like that.
Yeah, you could realistically do almost anything. The other kind of design I wanted to talk about too, which I actually personally hate, is the Inquisitor lightsaber design, which is like a ring around the hilt. Mm-hmm. And then the ring can spin, so you can hold the hilt still and then your lightsaber blades will emit and it'll start spinning. And you can even fly with it, which is very dumb. I hated that.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
Yeah, yes. So there are limitations on what you should do with the lightsaber, just so you know.
Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was one more unique design. Kylo Ren's lightsaber. So that's not actually a unique... There was a lot... I remember when the first trailers for The Force Awakens came out, everyone was freaking out about the new lightsaber design.
Right.
With the crossguard. It's not the first time that has appeared, and it has actually roots in legends. The lightsaber fork is kind of where it started, where you had like an angle... You had a main blade and then an angled...
Okay, yeah.
Secondary, smaller quillon.
Yeah.
That would be emitted. There's definitely some kind of dumb... thoughts. If you think about like using a cross guard, usually with real swords you use a cross guard to like defend, but if you did that with a lightsaber, you'd be like offering a section of your hilt that the enemy could just cut through. Right So those things aside, and obviously there's excuses you could make, same thing with like the pike, right? Like you can reinforce the handle so that it's not just offering.
Well, unless you could make the blade somehow itself like have two shoots, but it'd have to be from the blade, not from the hilt.
Exactly. But again, like you could theoretically reinforce the hilt, the metallic part of the hilt,
to
avoid
actually. That's true. Yeah.
But again, all those design features aside, I just wanted to mention that it wasn't a unique Disney idea. And I actually, the design's kind of grown on me personally. I'm not going to lie. At first I was very skeptical.
The Kylo Ren one.
Yeah. Like I said,
I never hated it.
No,
I kind of, maybe ambivalent. I thought it was... I think I at least appreciated that they're just trying to do something a little different than the typical lightsaber design. Obviously, like Darth Maul brought in a whole new
With the double blades. Yeah, changed everything.
Yeah. No, but it did. It was like it felt like going 0 to 1 with in terms of lightsabers. You know, it was like oh yeah, actually Because you can do all sorts of different like fighting styles and choreography with it. And, you know, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just adding that one element. But at the same time with Ren's lightsaber, I don't know how much it actually added.
Because
with Darth Maul's double-bladed hilt, it makes the fighting dynamic very different. Whereas with the
cross guard.
Yeah, the cross
guard. Unless you worked it into maybe his fighting style is way more defensive.
Yeah.
But obviously he's an aggressive tyrant. So like there's no, it doesn't really.
Yeah, from what I remember, I didn't. It was almost, to me, it almost seemed way more just purely aesthetic than functional. Yeah. So.
Another cool thing, just side note about that design, the two little lightsabers that come out of the side, it's not necessarily an intentional thing, but it's like,
right, it's like a vent. It's an exhaust.
Which I thought was cool. I'm like, that's a cool way to explain this new change in feature.
Yeah.
And then on that note too, now they're also trying to like retroactively rework it into the lore through the High Republic. So now you see a lot more cross guard lightsabers in the High Republic era. And you even have ones with metallic quillons now instead of just the venting lightsaber blades. Okay. So they're just like a metal cross guard, which obviously
like an old school sword.
Yeah. Which again, like criticisms aside of like, okay, maybe you probably don't use the cross guard as an actual cross guard. It's more an aesthetic thing, which lots of lightsabers have aesthetic flourishes that are like not practical, but look.
I do think an actual cross guard, I do think it would be practical if you
could deflect the blade. So again, making it out of a metal.
Yeah, yeah. If it could deflect the blade, because if you're thinking of the lightsaber, it slides down the whole, and could like easily cut your fingers off. Yeah.
I don't believe lightsabers actually slide against each other. If you watch the movies, they always like kind of like grip and stick.
Mm, I never thought about that. Yeah, because of the magnetic
fields. So,
I'm not opposed to it, but
yeah, I'm just saying I've never seen it.
Give us your theories.
Yeah, exactly. Do lightsabers slide?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the magnetic fields lock,
right.
And they lock the blades together.
Yeah.
So you always see like a pushing contest rather than, if you ever got in a lightsaber lock, you just slide the blade down and kill your opponent, right?
Right.
Or at least maim them, their fingers. But
yeah, that would be a decent explanation for why people
wouldn't have a cross guard, because it's like, why would you add that extra weight and unnecessary feature?
Right.
And that's typically how weapons evolve, right? You don't go for the biggest decorative sword if you want real combat effectiveness. Yeah. You want something that you can actually use and be practical, and you kind of trim off the excess fat wherever you can.
I think I do actually like the concept of the Force Saber, of like activating your lightsaber through the force. I think that I almost wish that was like, I know that idea was sort of invented later, but it makes it more of a uniquely Jedi or Sith weapon, you know. And it also is like a protection against other people
using your weapon. Yeah.
Where you know only Force users can.
Could at least. That eliminates a random bounty hunter or someone from snatching your weapon.
Yeah. It's not that you couldn't have like switches that activate it, but it would make sense for like Jedi or Sith to actually design their lightsabers as like almost a safety mechanism.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, and this is just like fan canon in my own head, I would think like you would take a measure of concentration that like it'd be better to automate that, because if you're always like focusing on keeping your blade active, it's just not worth the trade-off of like doing that in the middle of a fight.
Perhaps, but a different take on that is like you could, in the design feature, there's still a switch. It's just inside the saber.
Internal, right? Yeah, you flick it on and off.
And you have to flick it on with the force, right?
Okay.
So that's how I think. It's not that you'd have to constantly maintain the blade. It was just you have to turn it on with the force.
With the force. And that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go all out, like you could be like, it can only stay on with the force, right?
Yeah. But again, I feel like it would take too much attention if you're in the middle of a fight for your life. Yeah. You don't want to be focusing on keeping your weapon working the whole time.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I'm not huge on the Force Saber personally.
No, I like the idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that. And I like that anyone could theoretically pick it up. Now, that's something I kind of want to talk about here, so we might as well jump into it. Little known fact, anyone can pick up a lightsaber. However, unless you're a skilled fighter, like a non-force using fighter, or you have some kind of force ability to keep track of the weapon, because it's mentioned multiple times, because it's massless, like with a sword, you get a feel for where the blade is, right? You know where it is just by how it feels in your hand.
Yeah.
Whereas with a lightsaber, it's just light.
Yeah.
Right. So you could very easily, if you swing a flashlight around, you don't know where the light actually always is. Right?
The only weight comes from the hilt itself. Exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to get. Yeah, you can lose a feel for it.
Yeah, and it's very, cut off your own arm.
It does seem to be like it can be very dangerous if you're not very careful.
And then if you throw in the factor of like you're swinging that against someone else's lightsaber blade, and like suddenly they loosen their grip, you know there's a lot of factors in there. So while anyone can theoretically pick up a non force saber, a regular lightsaber, and activate it if the switches are on the outside, there's still difficulties for the average Joe to just grab it and use it effectively, which I wasn't planning on talking about this, but suddenly it popped in my mind. Mr. Stormtrooper Finn just pulling out his lightsaber and just fighting Kylo. Oh my God.
I
can't. Yeah. I can't with this.
Yeah. Which makes no sense.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Presumably you'd have to be like, have a high degree of competence in using a lightsaber before you're
actually
just, but not only Finn but Rey as well.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, both of them had like no experience with lightsabers, and then all of a sudden could take on like a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
I know that was one of the biggest pet peeves in that film for me.
And it would have been cool if he activated it and has his heroic moment and then just gets like owned, which in a way he did, to be fair, but he still fought with enough effectiveness to make Kylo retreat, which
it was just not believable.
The whole fight, I despise it. I know I did mention this before, and it kind of plays back into the uniqueness of lightsabers. I remember mentioning this on a previous podcast episode of like lightsabers being almost like Excalibur, at least how George Lucas envisioned it. So lightsaber fights being a lot slower, and like the original trilogy being kind of that like weightiness to it when they swing and stuff like that. That was actually intentional.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because there were a bunch of old guys fighting, although that is also a factor.
Yeah.
But that they did try to reintroduce that into the prequels, which I did at least appreciate as well.
Yeah, they definitely kind of slowed it down a little bit.
Yeah, from the prequel fighting, which was like highly acrobatic. Yeah.
However, what we just said about the lightness of the saber, it almost makes more sense that it would be
a high octane, quicker
fight. Like I think in real life, that's more how lightsaber fights would be. I don't think they'd be like, I get the cinematic appeal to having them having it slowed down and more dramatic. But I think in a way, realistically, it would be a much quicker affair.
Absolutely.
High tempo.
And then one thing that we touched on in this episode, which even while writing it, I was surprised at how little the blade color actually informs someone. You have the very obvious red typically is the bad guy.
Yeah.
I was expecting there to be a bit deeper lore, especially in Legends, about lightsaber crystals and colors, but they're surprisingly not as fleshed out as how Disney has gone about it. So Disney has like spiritualized the Kyber crystal a lot more to the point that like you get them kind of colorless, and then it's your, when you go through that attenuation through the Force process, you, who you are and your interaction with the Force actually informs the color of the crystal, which I actually think is kind of cool. And I do like that. Whereas before you just pick up, I want a green lightsaber. I'll just find a green crystal.
Yeah, right. It's almost as if they're tuning the lightsaber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the lightsaber is a reflection of you, and it's a lot more personal and almost magical kind of weapon. So I do appreciate that. And that being said, so for our episode, we did focus only on the Legends version of the lightsaber colors, but just know in the Disney version, there's a lot more meaning behind the colors. Like it's almost like a personality, what do you call those, mood ring kind of thing, a personality test, right? Like it kind of is a reflection of you. So. Another quick note. A lot of lightsaber colors were introduced in the Force Unleashed games, and you can, just from personal experience playing it, which I did really like, you could really go crazy customizing your lightsaber. You could put different crystals in, you could put like a Krat Dragon Pearl in, and you could do that also in the RPG
KOTOR.
So it's not strictly Kyber crystals that effect blades, you can put in other materials.
Right. Like focusing lenses and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You will always need a crystal or crystal-like substance. There's also a stone we mentioned that ancient Sith used to use as well that could produce a red blade.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just know it's more than just kyber crystals, at least in Legends, that will provide you with a lightsaber blade. And you can get like a ton of colors and variations of the same color. So you can have a green blade, but you could also have a teal blade. And then you could have a white core with a teal edge to your blade.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, and then other different shades of green and stuff. I don't remember them all. It's been a while since I played. But yeah, it is more than just like green, blue, yellow. There's like variations within those. But again, with Legends, it's easier to do that because there's less meaning attached. Other than in the Old Republic, when there was kind of a functional role that used to be tied with it during the Old Republic era, but that practice has long since been abandoned. So
yeah. Well, good discussion about lightsabers.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the most iconic I guess symbols or items in actually like in a lot of even pop culture, not just Star Wars, but
yeah, like you pull out a lightsaber in anywhere and someone will be like, oh, that's from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Even if they've never seen it before.
Yeah, everyone knows what it is.
A lightsaber is. Yeah.
Anyways, on that note, make sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Send us a message, DM us, email us. Let us know what you think. Give us your thoughts on lightsabers. And what your lightsaber color would be. Just like in, it's something similar to like how people say what school in Hogwarts they are.
Choose your lightsaber class color. Yeah. I hate personality tests personally.
Yeah.
I like how Disney did the spiritualize the kyber crystal more, but I hate everything about like this is a reflection of you and everything is about you and,
yeah. True. Anyways, we'll see you later.